I want to play Fortnite.
This part's a boss fight.
Headset, baby.
Is it my turn to play yet?
One!
Oh, we lost again.
You messed it up.
Go left, not right.
It was an accident.
It's okay, kids.
Yeah, GG.
And you're back to another episode of the Gamer Parents Podcast. My name is Joanne, and I'm joined by my wonderful and amazing husband and gamer partner in crime, Kevin.
Hey, everyone.
If this is your first time here, we're parents who game and gamers who parent. We have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, and we love to share our life in gaming and parenting. But before we begin, this is episode 117, and I'll start by asking you, Kevin, how has your week in life been going?
It's been going good, but before I get into the details, I did just want to add that towards the end of the episode, we're finally doing that review of Tower Song.
Woohoo!
So we're going to go through the usual weekly stuff, and then we will talk about Tower Song at the end in depth. So yes, this week in life, this last weekend was really fun. And in fact, we got to go to a place called Claw and Fun.
Yeah.
With lots of claws and lots of fun. It was like a claw machine place.
Yes.
Right? Which you had been to a couple times before.
Yeah.
Without me.
Uh-huh. But also, I've been playing claw machines in Japan for a long time, so.
Yeah, because claw machines are a big thing in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place that literally has probably, 30 different claw machines?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And some of those gachapon machines.
Yeah, I don't know what you just said, but there was lots of stuff there that was really cool. Lots of claw machines. And I like how probably close to half of the claw machines had Pokemon
plushies.
Yeah, plushies in them. Like, that was the reward, right? Different Pokemon, which is like...
Perfect.
If you've been listening to our show long, you know that I love Pokemon. And... Our kids are starting to love Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I couldn't think of, like, a better theme of, like, the rewards for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that was fun. You know, we bought a bunch of tokens and just started going around to all the different machines. And I think for all the Pokemon ones, we won, like, almost something out of, like, each one, right?
Yeah.
So,
gotta catch them all,
We got, like 7 or 8 different Pokemon ones, and then a couple of others, like Hello Kitty ones or something.
Mm-hmm. It is the Hello Kitty family, yeah.
Yeah, so we shared some pictures on social media of our catch.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but it was enough to put together, like, a whole Pokemon team, so that was fun.
I know.
More fun than I thought. It would have been a lot less fun if it wasn't Pokemon stuff.
True,
but it's... Japanese claw machine, so it makes sense that they have a lot of Pokemon stuff.
Mm-hmm. And like most places that have claw machines, like in arcades and stuff, you know, Chuck E. Cheese or something, it's really hard to get the plushies, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like once you go to a place like that and try a few claw machine, and you'll be like, this is a ripoff. But for this specific place where there are like 30 claw machines around you, they actually would help you try to win something. Like, you could request the people working there to rearrange the toys to make it, like, stack it high so you could knock it down.
And by rearrange, we mean stacking things high, like, right by the...
Yeah.
The wind...
The drop
hole. Yeah, the drop hole or whatever.
The drop hole.
So, like, all you have to do is, like, bump it and, like, you win something.
Yeah.
It was, like, makes it really easy, kind of unfair. But then again, you know, we get to win something. So not that unfair for us.
Yeah.
So I just, so that was kind of neat. Especially if there was someone that, like, you're really trying to get and you can't seem to get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can kind of help you.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. So that's a tip if you go to a claw machine place. Not arcade, not regular arcades, but a claw machine place. They would help. Because they really want you to win something, you know?
Yeah, that keeps the excitement going for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what is it, like about $5 per plushie, right?
Yeah, so that I did the math because I'm always thinking about that. I'm like, did we do okay? Did we like spend too much? Did we like not win enough, right? And so it came out to be about $5 per plushie that we won, which is not bad if you think about it. That's probably like around what they would cost anyways. I wouldn't normally go into a store and buy like 10 of them.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, I think it turned out to be okay. And it was fun.
It's that excitement of catching something.
Yeah, we had to have fun while getting it and, you know, spend an hour of an afternoon there and, you know.
Yeah, bragging rights too.
And so the kids have been playing with all those pretty much like this whole last week.
And sleeping with them too.
Yep. Yep.
So worth it, worth it. And then, which is rare in Texas, obviously, we had a snow day.
A few days. Well, I mean, it lasted a while, so. But yeah, we had pretty much a whole day where it was snowing down here, which is very unusual.
Yeah. I mean, the last snow was like, what, 7 years ago during our wedding?
4 years ago.
No, that's freeze. That doesn't count. No, that's freeze. It's not even like that kind of soft snow that you could play with. But this one is like snow, like flurries, you know, that you could feel and stick your tongue out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty fun. We didn't have all the snow gear because it's Texas.
It doesn't usually snow like this. Yeah. So
we use a laundry basket.
As a sled.
Yeah, as a sled. It was still pretty fun. The kids enjoyed themselves. We got about like 3 inches of snow. The kids got to make snow angels, build a tiny snowman, like half a foot tall. Yeah, all the fun stuff.
It was cold enough for us to get some snow, but at least it wasn't too cold that it didn't break anything.
Yeah.
Houses here aren't really built for really cold temperatures.
That's true.
Which we figured out the hard way a few years ago.
Yeah, that's the one 4 years ago. It was like hard freeze and pipes broke or...
Yeah, it was pretty disastrous here in Texas. And so it didn't get that cold, but like cold enough to snow. So it was perfect. It was great. Yeah.
They had to close down the whole town too.
Yeah, the kids got 2 days out of school.
Mm-hmm. Right after MLK.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I feel like this week we're going to be talking a lot about Pokemon, which is okay.
Yeah.
Because another thing is that our kids love McDonald's Happy Meals.
Mm-hmm, they do.
And I guess the new thing in the Happy Meals is that they're putting like packs of Pokemon cards in them.
Yes.
It's not like a full pack. I think it's only
four cards
in each one. And I'm sure they're not like that valuable or anything, but they...
I beg to defer.
Yeah.
But go on.
So we got one for Dylan and Faith each, right? And so they enjoy their meals. And then the highlight, obviously, is opening up their Pokemon packs, right? And it's the same thing. So, like, we didn't know necessarily whose was whose. So we kind of, like, mixed them up and just let them pick, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is the way it would have turned out if they had just got whichever one came in their Happy Meal.
Yeah.
But... Of course, you know, let Dylan pick first because he was done eating first. And he picked his, and it was like, whatever, okay, pack. Like, it didn't seem like it had anything special. I think every pack has one holographic card, just to make the kid feel special, probably. and Dylan got, like, some card he doesn't know of. I don't even remember the name. I don't think it was, like, anything super special.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was, like, content with it. He was fine.
He was excited. Cool.
It was cards like, to add to his collection, which he doesn't have a ton of. So he was excited.
Mm-hmm.
But then Faith goes to open her pack.
Yeah, it was her turn.
It was her turn to open. And, like, I don't remember all four of the cards that she got. I know she had a Jigglypuff.
Yeah, and that was, like, my favorite.
Which she likes and you like and, like... Most people know Jigglypuff. It's an iconic Pokemon. And I know she also gets like a holographic Pikachu.
I know, right? We were like, what?
Which, that's like the one holo she gets in her pack. But it's Pikachu. Yeah. Like, kids love
she
Pikachu.
She loves Pikachu, yeah.
It's one of the few Pokemon that she knows, right?
Yeah.
And then the next one she gets is a Charizard.
Yeah.
Which is another, like, that's usually like the chase card that everybody wants, right? Mm-hmm. Of like every pack. And the Charizard wasn't holographic or anything, but still, it's Charizard. And a lot of people like Charizard and know he's really strong. And yeah, so
the point being, we remembered 3 out of 4 of our cards.
Yeah, I don't remember the last one. It didn't really matter. At that point, it didn't really matter. And like Dylan saw like the holographic Pikachu and a Charizard and all these cards. And like he was like really bummed, especially when he picked the pack he got. Yeah. Right? Like he could have just as easily had the other one that mm-hmm. his sister ended up getting. And, you know, his little sister, who can probably only name, like, 2 or 3 Pokemon.
But she got Pikachu.
Yeah, when, like, he knows a lot more and is way more into Pokemon than her. He was a little bummed that she got the really good pack. But I don't think it matters too much because, honestly, it's probably all going, like, into the same collection anyways.
Yeah.
As Faith's a little bit too young to kind of have her own cards.
Yeah, he was like, don't let her hold it. It will bend, and the quality will go down.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, I thought it was, like, a funny Pokemon story with the kids from this week.
Well, there is another funny Pokemon story today, actually. Yes. We were watching this Pokemon show, right?
Yeah, so we have been binge watching Pokemon. I think it's like the original ones, which I think is like called the Indigo League. And we get to this episode, right, where
Pikachu meets his family, not his family, but his species.
Yeah, so like they find like a big clan of Pikachu, right? And like Ash's Pikachu is making friends and like really enjoying being with his own kind, you know?
And then Ash feels like it's best to leave Pikachu with his clan.
Yeah, and so he's sad. He's like, this is what's best for you, Pikachu.
And then he runs off.
Yeah, and of course, like, Dylan is thinking that they're going to be separated. Like, they have to part ways. Uh-huh. Pikachu's no longer going to be with Ash anymore.
Yeah.
And Dylan is literally, like, bawling.
I know.
It's like, thinking this is what's happening. And he's so sad.
Yeah, which took me by surprise, to be honest. Because we were all watching and having fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad thought. They're, like, best friends that they think are going to have to, like, part ways. Yeah. But like most people can kind of manage those emotions, but not when you're 6, I guess.
Yeah.
Or at least our 6-year-old. And so he was just like the tears were streaming down.
I don't know how often we have to tell them that it's always a happy ending in these cartoons.
Yeah.
Whether usually, it's a Disney cartoon or something, there's always a tragic moment and yet he still cries.
Yeah. But then of course, like, Pikachu ends up still going with Ash, so
yeah,
it turned out to be happy, and
then he was crying happy tears after that.
Yeah, so luckily it was a short thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I did catch it on video. It's in the story on Instagram.
Okay.
In the story of our live.
There were dramatic tears, but yeah.
Yeah, and also there's a reel of Faith opening the pack on Instagram if you want to check it out.
Nice.
But another thing in live this week, which everyone is definitely aware of, TikTok went down for like less than 24 hours. I know, but while TikTok was down last weekend, we were shocked to find out that Marvel Snap was affected.
Yeah, that really caught me off guard.
Like, I know.
They want to take TikTok. Like, I don't use TikTok at all, so like that's totally fine with me. I know some other people would disagree. Right. But then I found out like Marvel Snap was somehow part of that and like was brought down for, I feel like it was longer than TikTok.
Yeah.
It was at least a day.
I got you back for a bit. Nah, yeah, I'm kidding. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. And so that came back. So, but it was weird because like last week I was talking about Marvel Snap playing that and then it was even like while we were editing, it was like gone. I didn't know if it was coming back for sure. So I was kind of sad for like that day.
Yeah, you had so much gold in there too. Do you spend it now?
No, but I don't really have like anything big to like spend it on. So now that it's back,
it might be gone again. You never know.
That's true. Yeah, I don't think it's on like the App Store yet. Same with TikTok.
Yeah. Although, if you don't have it downloaded, you can't download it anymore. But if you already have it, then yeah, you can.
Yeah. So just don't rage quit and uninstall the game, basically.
Yeah.
Because you probably won't be able to get it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's another thing that kind of happened this week. Although I haven't been playing a ton of Marvel Snap, but still keeping it going. Anyways, I guess that's a transition into gaming, and so
yeah,
I guess I already talked about
Marvel Snap.
So let's talk about the other stuff. So I'll kind of keep the Pokemon theme going, and I swear this is the last bit of Pokemon for the rest of the episode. I promise. So since we were watching the show, and it's so similar to some of the earlier games, I actually went and downloaded another emulator and I've been playing Pokemon Fire Red today.
This, like, next to it is yellow, right?
Fire Red came out with Leaf Green.
Oh, Leaf Green, gotcha.
Which is basically like a remake of the original ones, which were like Red and Blue. And then Yellow came out after that.
Yeah, I was going to say Yellow.
Which is a little bit different than the other two, but very same story, kind of.
Okay.
So I've been playing that today, which is really similar to the one that Dylan had been playing like months ago, which we talked about some back then. And we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if it makes him want to go back and play Leaf Green, which is what he was playing.
Yeah, because he's already done his Rock credits with his Violet.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot left he can do in Pokemon Violet. He already rolled credits and beat like the main story.
Yeah, and this past week too.
Yeah. Yep. So he might be looking for the next thing to move on to. We'll see.
He's still crazy about Pokemons, though. He still wants to go back to that claw machine place.
He wants me to download the very first game, Pokemon Red, for him.
Ah.
I don't know if that's going to entertain him as long, just because...
So it's different from Fire Red? This is
Fire Red's like a remake of Red, and it looks a lot nicer. It's has a lot more added into the game. And I think he should just play that instead of going back to the very beginning, to be honest.
Just tell him that's a beginning.
Yeah, you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I am still playing Warzone, specifically the Squid Game mode.
We will be gone in 2 days.
Yeah, I don't know how many days are left.
Well, yesterday was 3 days left, so today will be 2 days. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that makes sense. Thank you for doing the math. and I don't know if I'm going to keep playing it once that mode is gone. I think I'm enjoying it mostly because of that mode, but... I don't know. That's what I'm playing right now, but that's about it for me.
Okay, yeah. For me, I've only played World of Warcraft. I think I finished the main story quest because the campaign quest is like over. Like no one has that banner with that exclamation mark on it. It's just regular exclamation mark. So it's
okay.
Like the campaign itself has been done. So I'm just like wandering around looking for...
Are you max level? Quests.
I'm not sure, actually. I haven't checked what level I am. I don't think I'm max yet. Max is 80. I think I'm 77.
So okay, close, so you just need to get experience so you can hit max level and
maybe
start going through dungeons and maybe eventually raids, mythics, and stuff like that.
True. I'm just wandering around this week. Yeah, plus all the Pokemon stuff.
Yes.
And the snow day.
Okay, yeah.
Let's jump into new game releases.
Yep, let's run through new game releases this last week. We had Ender Magnolia Bloom in the Mist that was released on PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, and Xbox Series X. Guilty Gear Strive, which was released on Switch. Ninja Gaiden 2 Black, which was released on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. Star Wars Episode 1 Jedi Power Battles on PC and all consoles. Sin Duality Echo of Ada on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth was released on PC. Carmen Sandiego released on Android and iOS. And lastly, Eternal Strands on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. Not really any of those standing out to me. Obviously, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming to PC is a pretty big thing. Although, we didn't play it anywhere else yet.
Yeah.
Not that I probably would play it on PC. I'd probably prefer to play those on PlayStation, but that's just me.
Yeah, you're a console guy.
I mean, for people that don't have a PlayStation and want to get into... Maybe they're only PC players and want to get into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That's a pretty cool thing to have.
Yeah, definitely.
What about Game Pass?
Speaking of Game Pass, we just want to let everyone know that we have unsubscribed from Game Pass for the time.
First time in like 2 years, I think.
I guess so.
Yeah. It's been 2 years so that we've been on Game Pass, I think. And so first time unsubbing.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's probably overdue a little bit for me, to be honest.
Yeah, I think
I haven't played a lot of stuff on Game Pass in like probably even the last like 6 months.
When was the last time we played it? Like for League of Legends, right?
Yeah, I was using it for League of Legends because it has like all the characters unlocked and stuff. But other than that, I wasn't really playing a lot of stuff on Game Pass. And I kind of stopped playing League, so I was like, well, maybe let's give it a break and we can come back to it at some point in the future. I think they recently raised their prices too, like in the last month or so. I want to say they increased it by like a couple dollars.
Yeah, everything's going up.
So it's a fine time to do that, I guess.
Since I'm already subbing back to WoW, I might as well unsub. Yeah.
And I'm playing mostly like free-to-play games or like Warzone and stuff. So we're busy enough with what we have.
True that. True that. It's not goodbye. It's just...
No, it's just see you later.
Yeah, see you later. So new on Game Pass this past week is Flock on Xbox Game Pass Standard. Gigantic Rampage Edition on console, PC, and cloud. Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess on Xbox Game Pass Standard. Magical Delicacy on Xbox Game Pass Standard. Starbound on console and cloud. Tachiya on Xbox Game Pass Standard. The Case of the Golden Idol on Xbox Game Pass Standard. Ninja Gaiden 2 Black on Xbox Series X and S, PC, and cloud. Eternal Strands, which is the day one release on console, PC, and cloud. Orcs Must Die Death Trap on Xbox Series X and S, PC, and cloud. And last but not least, Shady Part of Me on console, PC, and cloud.
Very cool. That is a lot of games to come out in 1 week on Game Pass.
And of course, it's like right after we unsub, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I don't think there's anything in there that I will miss dearly.
Yeah.
Although technically, I still have like a week left of...
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Of our subscription, so... All right, so...
The moment we've all waited for...
We've made really good time on the episode up till now. So, on purpose. So we had time to review Tower Song.
Yes.
So let's get into it, I guess. Let's start talking about Tower Song.
Yes. So let me give you a bit of backstory slash introduction to the game. It's basically a turn-based RPG game, which is very challenging as well because there are like puzzles involved and strategy in how you attack the enemies. And the characters are very JRPG if they appear on screen to talk. Well, they don't talk actually. They have this dialogue box that comes out and then you kind of read it. But how they're animated is very JRPG style. And that's like also during combat, you get to see everyone. But during the exploring part, when you walk around in the game, it's top down and pixel animated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cute. Kind of bring you to that retro-ish games in the past. Plus, it's an indie game.
Developed by...
OI Games.
Omega Entertainment.
Omega Entertainment, yeah. Or short, OI Games.
And just to talk about the start of the game, right? Mm-hmm. I thought it was really cool, the, what would you call that, prologue?
Prologue, yeah.
I guess, right? Where it introduces you to all of the characters, which I didn't realize really becomes important, like, after the prologue.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically it starts you off with, like, two of the characters, if I remember right. And then you play through a little bit, do some combat with them, which I'm trying to remember how they separated it.
So it's like Solas and her sister were fighting, going through.
Really just Solas.
Yeah, but you were with the sister.
Yes.
And then, so you play as Solas for a bit. And then they showed like there was an explosion or something. And she was like, what's that noise? Oh, I brought reinforcements. And then they showed the outside part of the tower where there are like three other characters. And you get to play as them against the enemies. So who were they? If I remember right, you had like Tali.
Well, the other characters, right, that it's introducing to you at the beginning of the game, there's Solas, who's like the main character. She's like a sniper or gunner, right? She uses a gun.
She's a sniper, yeah.
And then it introduces the other kind of main characters in her crew, mm-hmm. right? So you have, then you have Tally, who's kind of like the Black Witch, who also has a cat named
Gigi.
Gigi, who's technically like, it's like two characters in one.
Yeah.
Like you get to use both of them in combat, which is unique and pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a guy named Neat.
Yeah, he's like the Street Fighter guy.
Brawler, Street Fighter. Yeah. He has these cool sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember a whole lot about him, and I'll explain why in a little bit later. But there's also Porphyry.
Yep.
Right, who is Neat's
sister.
Sister. Yeah, I knew they were related somehow. And she's like guardian, tanky, kind of warrior.
Berserker style.
Type character.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you have Izone is the last character that they introduce like at the beginning of the game, right? And he's what they call a technomancer.
Yeah, he's like an old man who is like very sweet. And very interested in the science of stuff and how they work. That's why he has an exosuit on him.
Yeah, so he was another one that was like very like unique. Like I don't know what group you'd put him in as far as like what class that is, because technomancer is not really something that you hear all that often.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He has an exosuit, and I can speak a lot more on him because after you get through the prologue.
Yeah.
You know, you escape the situation that you're all in at the very beginning, and as a group, you play a Solus kind of, and you're asked to like choose who's going to go with Solus, right?
Yeah.
And you get a pick between those four characters before the other four characters, right? Neat, Tally, Porphyry, and Izone.
Yeah.
Right? Of like who you want to play through the game with.
As a mana knight to go with you.
Yeah. So it's going to be Solus plus whoever you pick is going to be basically your party for the most part.
Yeah.
Throughout the game. And the prologue is a really good way to
experience
each of those characters and decide like, oh, I really like how this character plays. Or I had the most fun with this one, so I'm going to take them, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, it was definitely down to like the more caster characters, which were Tally / Gigi and then Izone.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones were okay. Like, I just didn't enjoy them as much as the first two.
They're very melee.
Yeah, which is not normally my style. True. And that's the main reason. I like casters. I like having mana to manage and things like that.
Or technomancers that has no mana, but
he has mana.
Does he?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Which is why he kind of felt more like a mage to me. But I'll explain his own more later. But yeah, I think the two characters that I talked about before, those ones are the ones that more suited me.
Gotcha.
So we both played this game, right? Had separate playthroughs because it's not co-op, it's not multiplayer, just single player. So we had two separate playthroughs.
Yeah.
Where I chose Izone.
Yes.
The Technomancer.
And I chose Tally and Gigi because I love cats.
Yeah, and Gigi's a cat.
Yes. And I like how her style of like combat is. She used this dark deck. You know, it's almost like a tarot deck, actually. Because you see the tower, the magician, you know. But each of the cards that she pull has a different ability. And also, it's like you don't get the same cards all the time. So it's really dependent on your luck.
And remember, this is turn-based. So like it would be your turn and all of a sudden you get your options of like different abilities, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't know what they're going to be each time. So like for her, it's kind of hard to plan around because it's just like, all right, let me see what I got this turn. Right. Yeah. And you may get something that's really helpful. You might not. And you kind of have to pick from whatever you're given.
Yeah.
And
but
so,
her
yeah.
cat's really helpful.
I mean, you played through with that character, so I can't really talk about her as much, except from what I experienced at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But Izone was the character that I chose. And like we mentioned, he has this exosuit. So like he has two different modes he can switch from with the exosuit. And so like one mode, you use your mana to cast these spells to, you know, they do whatever they do, but then they also generate gravity.
Okay.
And then you can switch the suit and you can spend the gravity on, to me, what seemed like even stronger abilities.
Mm.
And then those abilities give you mana. So then you could switch back to the other mode and use that mana to generate more gravity. And you're kind of like switching back and forth. Like, depending on the two resources that you have, and you're trying to, like, kind of manage both. So that's kind of how he plays.
Gotcha. I never realized that it was... I thought it was a battery thing.
Like, no. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you pick the one character you want to use, and then the other three you don't get to use ever again. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's kind of the unfortunate side, because, like, I wanted to play both of our characters. But, you know, that just means you got to do another playthrough with the one that you want to try out after that, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how, I guess, how we decided which characters we wanted to play through the game with.
Yep. And also, one thing that made the game really interesting for me was because every character, like, has a dialogue to say, right?
Yep.
And while we were streaming the game, I would imagine the voice of every character while playing it. Remember?
Yes. Yep.
So that's what made it more interesting for me.
Versus when the characters have their own voices and voice actors and stuff that, you know, you're basically given, this is what the character sounds like. Mm-hmm. Whereas something like this, where you're just given the text, you get to add the voice yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So that was fun for me. I might do a reel about that.
Yeah.
For every character.
You could voice them all, yeah.
But yeah, so the whole storyline in the game is how, like, they went into this tower and then the sister got stuck or something, remember? Like, they defeated the tower, and right before they could escape, the stone kind of, like, it fell between them and the sister.
Okay.
So they had to, like, regroup. Tally and Gigi had to teleport them back out into safety.
Yeah.
Which frustrates Solace, because apparently the sister is, you know, important.
Yeah, she'd want to leave her sister.
Yeah. So then the whole story was about trying to get back into the tower. The fire tower, was it?
I think so.
Yeah, to get... I know there were a few towers. It's been a while since we played a game.
Yeah.
But then they realized they're going to need a Mana Knight who is pro about all these towers. And that was Kieran.
Who was, like, their leader, I think.
Not really their leader. I think it was, like, someone who has been to a Soul Tower. The Soul Tower. I think he was in the Soul Tower. So he's in the... So they have to go there to get him.
Yeah.
And then they can regroup to go back into the tower, because he knows how the tower operates or something.
Gotcha, he's
got, like, the most research in it.
Okay. And just a disclaimer, we originally played this game, what, like, back, like, October, November? And then we got sick and we had our break. And so some of the story details are a little fuzzy, which is why we might not get everything perfectly right.
Yeah. For the storyline, at least.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then that's where you get to pick as Solace. You got to pick one Mana Knight to go with you.
Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a little bit of the story without going too in-depth or ruining any surprises.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just talk about, like, combat and, like, the RPG side of the game.
Sure.
Right? Where you... It's kind of the RPG part of this, where, like, you have equipment you can equip to each of your characters, right?
Yeah.
Like a weapon, armor, and I think two accessories. And there's different stats, and the gear that you put on will, you know, either boost or diminish your stats. You know, sometimes there's trade-offs, right? But the stats being damage, magic, defense, initiative, evasion, and hit.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the gear was a little bit on the simpler side, which I honestly kind of liked.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I play RPG games, what I don't want is having to spend hours, like, going through my inventory, trying to figure out which weapons I want. And, you know, and games are just even more complicated nowadays with, like, you know, slots and different... It's more than just, oh, this is your weapon and, like, this is what it does. But there's, like, so many different, like, adjustments you can make to each thing, usually. And this was a lot simpler, right? Is pick what weapon you want, what armor you want, and then which of your two accessories, and they will boost certain stats. And it was a lot clearer to me, like, oh, this is what I want to use, without having to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what would be best.
Yeah.
Which I liked, especially now. Like, we don't have as much time. It was more time sensitive in a lot of ways, this game, and mm-hmm. that's just one of them.
Yeah.
Right? And then also, like, as you progress through the story and you get into combat, and we explained how this was turn-based.
Yeah.
Right? And At the beginning of the game, it was fairly easy, as expected.
Yeah.
Right? like, it was just use your attacks and kill whatever enemies and, you know, move on.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I kind of liked about this game is that every time you went through combat, when you were done, your whole party is, like, fully healed.
Yeah, that's
true. It's not like, oh, that you barely survived this fight. You have to, like, go back and find a way to heal or use items to heal yourself
mm-hmm.
or mana. Or, like, because that just takes more time and yeah. all that. But it's, like, as long as you win that fight, your whole party is fully healed, ready to go for the next one.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, no interruptions.
And even if one person died in a party, and if you still win the combat, that person is, like, instantly revived together.
Yeah, like, you're ready. You're totally ready to go
yeah.
For the next fight, as That's long as you convenient. Win that. Yeah, and characters... I don't think you don't get like experience or anything, right? I know you get like materials and stuff when you win combat, from what I remember, which you can use to like craft different items, yeah. right? Which then you can equip to like get stronger and stuff, right?
Yeah, so, well, you gain party, what do you call it? Like when you get through a level together, not necessarily like per person, like once you pass a certain area. Then mm-hmm. the party level ups together.
Yeah, remember? That's and as you progress the story, though.
Yeah, that's right? as you progress the story. Yeah. That's what but I meant.
Yeah, it's not like you need to like farm like combat, go through like multiple fights just mm-hmm. to get stronger, so that you could get past a certain part in the game.
Yeah.
Oh. Right. So like a lot of RPGs, I find like you're having to like farm experience, like get stronger,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really have to do that so much here. It's yeah. more so...
You can focus on the story here.
Do like the normal minimal stuff of like crafting stronger weapons when you're able to.
Yeah, when you have the
but
materials.
But then the rest of it, you just like have to kind of play smart. Yeah. And it didn't really matter so much at the beginning of the game. It was probably like halfway through that I was like, okay, like I can't just do my normal routine of like combat of like go through these abilities. Like I kind of actually have to pay attention to like what... abilities the enemies are using,
mm-hmm.
Particularly what like buffs and debuffs yeah. they're using.
So I realized like once we leave the city of Kadam where they gathered in the beginning and where we pick our mm-hmm. mana knight to go with Solas, and then we leave the city of Kadam to look for Kiran in the Soul Tower, then we go through the forest and stuff, right? I noticed that like the enemies there start to get harder. I mean, not as hard as like during the tutorial and the prologue or stuff, but it's like they even have trees, the ant, ENT, you know, yeah. the treants thing that like could revive the mosquitoes or whatever bugs that we're fighting. So it's like pointless to kill the mosquitoes first. You want to kill the trees first because they'll just keep reviving or keep healing. So it's like all this minor stuff. And when you reach the part where there's the wolf and you know that it will, and you know that there's like when they get bloodlust, you know, they'll like do more damage. So you want to kill them before they get bloodlust and stuff like that.
Or there's like fire guys that would explode like after like three turns or something, right?
When they turn red.
And if you're not paying attention, like that will get you.
Yeah.
Right. So
the enemies are always changing, basically. You need to be aware, right?
And so every fight was different. And based on which combination of enemies you're fighting. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll be difficult because it's like, this is a priority enemy, but then there's two of them, right? Or something. And like, you're trying to figure out what's the best way to go about it,
mm-hmm.
especially with the characters that you have.
Wasn't one of the enemy, and this was the one that I told you about, was that you have to like reduce them equally because one...
That was one of the bosses.
Yeah, that was interesting. I like that one.
If you're not paying attention, it'll be like, why am I not doing damage? And you kind of have to figure that out, that they kind of share health pool but like equalize.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely you have to be paying attention in combat, and you strategize and use your abilities accordingly.
Yeah, like even for Solas as the sniper, sometimes I just want to like keep shooting using aim shot, which is one of her abilities, but then when I read the description, if you put a sniper's mark on the enemy first, and then you would actually triple the damage done by the aim shot after. So even though it takes two rounds to do it, I think it was worth it because it's easier to finish off. Like she gets a critical hit like pretty on much, the enemy, yeah, if you wait one more extra round.
Yep, it just comes later. So if it's an enemy with a lot of health, you would do that. If it's mm-hmm. enemies with less health, you probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Or use something else. So, yeah, it's there's a lot of thinking that goes into the turn-based combat.
Yeah.
Even, which was nice, because I feel like a lot of other games are just use your strongest ability until you win.
Yeah. And then when we go further in, we meet three other Mana Knights. Or was this... I don't know if this was before or after Kieran. I think it's after we meet Kieran. Where yeah. we'll meet Akino, the Elementalist. And Kieran himself, that we say from the Soul Tower, he's like a paladin, Mana Knight.
Kind of. I don't think they call him a paladin, but that's what he feels like. Yeah,
he has like this power of light most of the time. He has this blessing.
I feel like he has light and dark, but I don't know. He has like different like attacks that kind of add something to it, either like heal himself or...
And a lot of blessings.
Yeah.
And there's also Fred, the Blood Mage, which was my favorite.
I liked her.
Yeah. That's how I imagined her voice to be. Yeah. Like raspy or something.
Yeah.
And then there's Hudson, the Gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The word Hudson sounds very like Texan. So
yeah. He was cool. He has like three different ammo types and lots of different abilities.
Yeah, and he has the mask he puts on. He's like the Kakashi of the group.
Yeah, kind of. I could see that.
Yeah, and I had a whole Texan slang. Well, I tried to attempt a Texan slang for the Gunslinger. And for Akino, of course, it was a Japanese slang, right? Like,
yeah.
So I had fun playing them. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so those three characters just kind of come in later in the story. Like, doesn't matter who you choose earlier mm-hmm. on at the beginning.
But and the crazy part was during the battle where all five of them are fighting something in the Fire Tower. And you have to decide, like, all right, who's... I think you died a few times in that
probably,
fight.
Yeah.
Well, you have to decide, like, okay, who's going to protect? I feel like each character has that item, the potion, right? The health potion. Like, two health potions, I think. But each character also have an ability to heal either themselves or... other people, like Kieran would heal other people. He could, and my cat even could heal people and protect Tally. So that was kind of helpful. Mm-hmm. So I had to like divide, strategize who's going to heal who because everyone's taking turns and there's like a whole bunch of enemy, you know?
Yeah.
Try to keep the whole party alive.
Yeah, that's one thing that I noticed. Like there's not like a designated healer in the game,
mm-hmm.
but like everybody had some kind of either heal themselves or someone else
mm-hmm.
for the most part, or at least like some kind of shield.
Yeah.
Thing. So like it wasn't like it kept it pretty easy to like keep your characters alive if you focused on that. Like if you make sure to do that.
Oh, but a disclaimer, I played it on easy mode.
Okay. That makes a big difference. And so for me on that, I started the game in normal mode and I probably got like 80-85% through, and then I switched it to easy mode.
Yeah, that was that part where you kept dying.
Yeah, I got to one of the bosses and I like could maybe get like halfway, and I was not having it. I probably tried it like 4 or 5 times.
I know.
And I couldn't beat that boss, and
rough.
I was like, all right, like, and you were already ahead of me. I think that was around the point where mm-hmm. like you were beating the game, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna switch it to easy mode and finish the game that way.
Yeah.
But I did most of the game on normal difficulty. I will say that.
Yeah, good for you.
It was getting more and more difficult, which is good.
It was.
But I didn't want to like really slow my progress down, so yeah. I just changed the difficulty.
Yeah.
I took the easy way out with the difficulty slider.
No shame there. No shame there. It's good. It's good. But yeah, so now we are controlling from two characters, Solas and your chosen Mana Knight. Then there's Kieran that you pick up from the Soul Tower. And then there's another three friends who came around.
And you're not like playing with all of these characters at the same time. Like it bounces back and forth in different combinations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a decent portion of the game towards the end where you play as like basically three different groups.
Yeah.
Right? You have Solas plus your character. You have Kieran on his own. And then you have like the other three that are together.
Yeah. Aquino, Fred, and Hudson
yeah. are all together, right? And you can, like, switch freely between them,
mm-hmm.
right? Because sometimes you have to, like, go do one thing with this group so that you can
turn this thing on
and then switch back to the other group. I thought that was really cool. Like, normally it's like you're forced to use this group until you're done with that part, mm-hmm. and then you're forced to switch to a different team, like, games that do that. Where this one, it was like you could freely switch back and forth, mm-hmm. like, whenever you wanted. And, you know, as long as you did certain things in order, then, you know, it would kind of progress.
But it has a lot of, like, I want to say IQ involves the strategy. You're like, all right, I can't go through here. What am I supposed to do here? I need to do this remote, you know, like, and then you have to go back to Kieran to switch the flowers and the rock.
Yeah, that was pretty intensive as far as, like, the, you had to, like, plan things out. And, like, it was kind of like a puzzle of using Kieran as, like, the control master of turning things on and off for the other teams to, like, proceed.
Yeah. And I keep forgetting. I don't know if it's my mom brain. I keep forgetting, like, which level I am on. Because remember, we have an elevator.
There was a lot. Yeah.
There was an elevator.
It was easy to get lost and, like, forget where you've been.
I know.
At that part in the game.
Have I been on the rooftop? Have I been in the generator room or something?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't take me too long to figure out, like, oh, this is the way I'm supposed to go. Or, like, I did get stuck a little bit, but not, like, for too long. But I feel like it could have easily happened of, like, getting stuck in that part of the game for a while.
Yeah.
I could see people having some issues with that part. But it was still fun, and I luckily didn't get stuck for too long.
Yeah, me too.
And so we kind of mentioned you don't necessarily have experience, but, like, as you reach certain points in the game, like, different acts, I think, is, I don't know what words they use in the game, but that's kind of how I would think about it, that whenever you kind of get to a new part of the game,
the different chapter, I think
they chapter makes more sense. Yeah. And you would usually unlock, like, new abilities for your characters, new mm-hmm. skills mm-hmm. for your character to use. It just adds another tool to your toolkit.
Yeah.
And at one point in the game, I don't remember how far in it is, you start unlocking something called mods.
Uh-huh.
Which, that was really cool to me, because you had, like, different levels, and I think it goes up to, like, 5, if I remember right.
Yeah, level 5, yeah.
And, like, with each one, you basically get to pick one of two mods,
mm-hmm.
right? Which are either, like, a passive, which makes a big difference for your character. I noticed, like, it was game changer, or, like, it would change one of your abilities into, like, an empowered version of it. Yeah. Right, which is also a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So getting those mods were pretty influential on, like,
the characters,
your character, how mm-hmm. they played, and how you used them.
Yeah.
But then the cool part was that you could also switch those mods, like, however you wanted, right? So if you didn't like the one you chose, try the other one and see if that worked better, or, like, mix and match, or, like, certain ones would combine better, or, like, you know, suit. Like, certain ones would be a better combination or have better synergy, right? So you're, like, free to change those up, like, however you want, which was fun. I did a little bit of that. True. And every character would have them, not just the main two characters that we play with, but all the other ones that kind of come in and out of our party.
Yeah. And I always try to find one that has more defensive.
Yeah. I mean, in RPG games, the main thing is staying alive.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to die. That's alive. How you lose.
Staying alive.
Yeah. So definitely important to think about that too.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, another thing, there is, as you're, like, kind of traveling and exploring, there would be certain areas or things that only certain characters could do.
Yes, right? Like the little holes.
That's cool. Yes. So there's, like, these little caves or, like, I don't know, openings that, like, only someone the size of a cat could fit in, right? And it'll tell you that, like, oh, this is, you know, small opening that maybe, like, a cat could fit through. And then me, as I'm playing my game with Izone, I'm like, oh, well, maybe I was supposed to pick Tally for this part, right? Who?
Yeah, but also there's, like, exosuits lying around, and I'll be clicking on it, and it says, oh, this would have been good for Izoans to use for his research. And I'm like, okay, I can't go there because it's blocking the whole road. And
yep. So, like, there's certain paths you could take depending on which character you chose, right? So, yeah, mm-hmm. like you said, there'd be exosuits on the ground, and I would be able to clear those out of the way.
Yeah.
And, or, and go past, and, like, there might be, like, a secret item or something. Yeah. Right? And you'd usually be, like, a good crafting item
for that character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you could go and craft, like, a really good weapon or mm-hmm. something for them.
And for Porphyry, is a big rock or something yeah, that so, only her could break.
Yeah, there'll be, like, rocks that Porphyry is, like, strong, right? So yeah. she could break the rock to get past. So
when I was playing her, I imagined her voice to sound like Luisa.
Yeah, maybe. And what was the last one? Neat, who could apparently, like, bring people out of, like, whatever state they're in or something.
Oh, really? Because
there'd be, like, people that they look like they were, like... Yeah.
Like, they could not snap out of something yeah, in like, a trance or something.
Yeah, and they're, like, blocking the path. So that one was kind of different, but... that was his, right?
Oh, really?
So, like,
I didn't know that it was his job to do that. I always yeah. wondered who...
Because it mentions, like, oh, Neat would know how to get them out of this. Or something like that, right? So basically, like, there's different places in the game, and there's a lot of them. You encounter this a lot, mm-hmm. where only... Like, depending on which character you chose to play as, then you could access those areas. Which was cool, because then it was like, okay, well, if I play a different character next time, I could see what's, you know, behind that door... Basically. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
So shall we jump on to the ratings then?
Yeah, let's. We talked about the game and what we thought about it and, you know, what it was like for us mm-hmm. to play through the game.
And just if this is your first time listening, we just want to mention that our ratings are based off our experience as gamer parents, right?
Absolutely. And it's been a while, mm-hmm. a good while since we rated a game. Like this in depth.
Yeah.
So I'll just remind everyone of the five different categories
mm-hmm.
that we like to rate games on, because it's the categories that are important to us as gamer parents.
Yes.
And those are on convenience.
Because if you have a baby and you got to run away for a minute,
yeah,
that's or a convenience. Even a toddler. Yeah.
Yeah. As well as communication.
Between us both.
Because if we're going to play games together, we want to play games together.
Yeah.
Story.
Important.
Repeatability.
Very important.
And fun.
Most important.
Yes. If it's not fun, then what's the point?
True.
Okay, so let's talk about the convenience of this game.
Do you want me to start this time?
You can, sure.
I would say the convenience is a 10.
And out of 10, you're saying?
Out of 10.
Okay. Why?
Because it's turn-based. So basically, like, there's no running out of time, number one, when it comes to playing. If you're in a turn-based moment.
Yeah.
And then if you already killed the enemies around that area, I think it's pretty clear, like most RPG games, you can just like idle, stand idle there and not worry about minions being respawned back, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very easy to leave, go get a snack, tend to your toddler, come back, play, leave again. Very forgivable that way. So that's 10, most definitely, for me. What about you?
Okay. I mean, I agree with all of that. I can't really think of any point in the game where you can't just, like, get up and walk away and go do something if you need to. I don't think you even need to, like, pause the game or anything like that, which yeah. is, like, just added bonus. You know, I feel like this game really respects your time compared to a lot of RPGs. Mm-hmm. Like, one thing we didn't mention is when you... get into combat and defeat the enemies, like, they don't respawn. They, you know, you don't have to go back and, like, refight anything, because you mm-hmm. can't, and you don't really need to.
And your whole party's all healed.
Yeah, and things like that. It's not like you're spending a whole lot of time every night just to progress the game, because yeah. they cut out a lot of, like, the dead weight, right? The mm-hmm. extra stuff that you don't really need in games, and it makes it convenient.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, rest points, checkpoints where you could save your games, because you have yeah. to go to a campfire to actually save your games and craft equipment, go yeah. to the menu, and I think there's a lot of checkpoints for that.
Yeah, so I also give it a 10 out of 10 on convenience.
Okay.
I think it's very convenient. Yeah, I think RPGs in general are kind of convenient, unless they're, like, MMO RPGs. I think that's very different, mm-hmm. but as far as they go, I think this is... as convenient as they get.
True, true.
What about on communication?
So for this game, communication is, like, not necessary because we're playing it single player, right? But I also include communication in talking about the game after. Like,
yeah, really, the way we grade this is how much does it get you and I to talk?
Yeah, not necessarily
to
like
each other about it.
Yeah, not necessarily like during the gameplay itself, but just talking about it. And I think I would give it a 4 for this because, as you know, I always check in with you if my accent for this character is perfect. Like Tally, I have her have more sass, and and I'll ask you, what do you think about this character's voice? You know, like, is one, I think of him like a very British old man who is interested and fascinated by all the scientific and you know, findings that he could explore. So that's like the kind of conversations I have with you about the game. And of course, like, how do you get through this puzzle? Remember, like, and you will tell me, oh, you need to drain this thing first in a different floor by a different group.
Yeah, there was more communication, I think, in that part.
In the puzzle part.
Yeah, like, there was, I think there's one point you got lost and, like, I tried to help you figure out where to go.
Yeah, I was like, I'm lost in this place. I'm already bad with maps, and that was a mountain, so yeah. So yeah, that kind of communication helps. And also, like, you telling me about certain enemies that reflect my...
Yeah, I think I got to those enemies first. Because there was a lot of, like, I would pass you up in the story, and then you would pass me up in the story. And that's when I remember I got to you first. And it I was like, when you see these guys, like look out for this.
Yeah.
Because, like, there was certain enemies that would, like, reflect damage.
Yeah, and I do a lot of damage, apparently.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I think the enemies typically had a lot more health than us and, like, did less damage. And, like, it was really easy. You could, like, one-shot yourself if they reflect your damage back onto you.
Yeah, and especially because I was playing on easy mode, so they barely, like, you know, hurt me. But when they reflect my damage, it's like KO immediately.
That makes sense. So that's just one example of, like, this game, like, kind of throwing curveballs sometimes with, like, just a reminder, you need to pay attention of, like, what enemies you're fighting, especially if there's something you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of conversation we have. So I give it a 4. But what about you?
I'm kind of with you there. There wasn't a lot of, like, communication going on. Not like what we're used to with, like, co-op games.
Mm-hmm.
There was still some, a little bit, while we were playing. Not a whole lot afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of on the lower end as well on communication between us with this game. But I put in a 3.
Okay, pretty close.
For it. And the next category would be the story.
I enjoyed the story, although, like, the names of places can be a bit confusing. I mean, I get it. They're very creative. At least I remember Kadam, but
I don't remember any of this, like, cities or anything.
Oh, really?
So.
Okay.
But that's normal. That's totally par for the course for me, though.
Yeah. But I especially like the plot twist, which I'm not going to spoil for anyone. And I think the story, like, the dialogues between every character, you can really tell where they came from, you know, like, their background about Solace sister. You know, they were, like, almost like slaves. They were taken away as kids and raised to do what they're doing, and they're trying to break that. So it's very, like, sad, and at the same time, you understand, you get to bond with every character, you know?
Yeah.
I think I'll give the story about, like, an 8 because I was enjoying reading through everyone's background and stuff, or where they came from.
Yeah.
All that kind of talks, you know, I enjoy.
Okay. I would say on the story, I thought it was good. I think it was, for me, it's more about, like, the medium, because I struggle with games that are text only to a certain degree. Yeah. If it's, like, light, kind of light story through text, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a more in-depth story like this one was, then it can be a little bit overwhelming for me.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not, like, a big reader.
Yeah, I like reading, like, so.
You're different in that sense, so I think this medium works a lot better for you, which makes sense. But the story itself, I thought, was good.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was kind of cool is that your characters have a lot of dialogue throughout the game.
Yes.
And depending on what character you chose to play as, the dialogue is different, right? So, like, me, it was a bunch of dialogue between Solace and Izone. And yours is Solace and Tally, right? And so I feel like the story probably changes a little bit. I mean, the main story is the same, but, like, the dialogue between the characters changes.
Yeah. Like, even when I played, because I played as two characters, I played as Tali, and then I replayed the game as Porphyry, and I noticed, like, even Tali was more, what's the word, more judgy when it comes to Kieran, but Porphyry was more, like, rational, like, or, like, let's keep our guards up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't just snap at him the way Tali did, so...
Yeah.
That was also interesting for me.
Hmm. Yeah, so I'm sure that adds or takes away some from the story, depending on who you choose. So I think overall that kind of adds to the story dynamic of the game. But I'm giving it a 7 out of 10.
Okay,
that's on not story. Too, that's at least not, that's just yeah. my opinion. If I loved reading more, this would probably get a higher score from me. But I'm comfortable at a 7.
Yeah, sounds fair.
Next category is on repeatability, which I think this is a pretty simple point. Right, we've been talking about this. You get to choose one of four characters towards the beginning of the game. And to me, the repeatability is you beat it with one character, and then you start over and you pick a second character.
Yeah,
and you like beat the game with that character. And you still end up playing Solas a lot because she's always there. But the other character is always changing, which I think is the cool part and what feels more repeatable to me, right? Like you did, Tali, and then you started another playthrough with Porphyry.
Yeah.
And so you get a different character, whole slate. So you get different character, whole slate of different abilities to use and to get through the game and stuff. So I think it would feel a lot different. I didn't start a second playthrough, but I could see how having a different character would change everything up. You know, not only the combat, but also, like we were talking about, how the story is a little bit different. And the dialogue between the two characters is obviously going to be different. Not only because it's a different person, but also each of the characters had way different, like, personalities.
Yeah, their personalities. That's it.
Right? So, like, Solas and Tali is going to feel a lot different than Solas and Porphyry.
Or Solas and Izzon, even. Yeah,
exactly. So I think the repeatability was pretty strong in this game. So I'm actually giving it an 8.
All right. I'm actually giving it an 8, too. And I wasn't, like, copying you or anything.
It sounds like you're copying me, but that's fine. I'm used to it. I should make you go first on everything.
I'm pretty sure this is 8 for
me. She's pretty sure she's not an 8.
You haven't repeated. I repeated already, so.
All right. Last category is the most important one. It's fun. Were we having fun with this game?
I was. That I repeated it. Oh.
Yes.
I'm giving it a 9. I mean, I'm not giving it a 9 out of, like, nothing. I'm giving it a 9 because of how convenient it is, right? And also how repeatable it is and how I like the story. All that three things kind of helped me give it a 9 because if it was inconvenient, I think I would have less fun. Like, if I have to keep farming for experience, I would have less fun. Like, this is more... You know, you get to enjoy the story. It's a very cozy game to me, even though there's a lot of fighting. Yeah, it's kind of like Doki Doki Literature Club when it comes to the reading part. Okay. Like, that. I like reading, you know me.
And I won't even, like, watch that game, let alone play it. So, I can't.
I'm just saying that JRPG part of it, of reading. And then there's also the combat part, which is, you know, exciting.
Yeah.
I can't just read everything. I actually have to combat something and feel ta-da, I won something. So this two combined made it really fun for me, so I'm giving it a 9. What about you?
So for me, on my thoughts for fun, I think the most fun I got out of this game was probably, like, I'd say about halfway through when the combat started getting a little bit more challenging, and it was in the combat part of the game. Less so, like, so walking around and exploring and trying to figure out how to get past certain puzzles or things like that. I normally like puzzles in games. This one, less so. It seemed kind of more tedious and less, like, rewarding or...
I know what you mean.
It was more like, it just took more time to figure out versus, like, oh, I think I figured out the answer kind of moments that you have sometimes with puzzles.
So it's not like an escape room kind of puzzle. It's more like, go back to this button, go back to that button.
A lot of times it was like, oh, I just feel like I'm kind of just wandering around in some parts. And I didn't really enjoy like the traveling around as much. It was more mostly like on the combat, but it was a really good combination of exploration, combat, and dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's what
it was. Like almost like perfectly split, like in thirds of like the time spent on this game. And I just enjoyed the combat a lot more. And I think there could be a little bit less dialogue at times. And yeah, I don't know. That's kind of. But that's just me probably on the whole reading thing. But I am giving it a 7 out of 10 on fun.
Okay. So total yours up and mine would be 39, I think.
And mine is 35. Ooh. And this is out of 50. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of up there. I think the highest we've seen has been like low 40s.
Yeah.
Low to mid 40s. Mm-hmm. But we've reviewed a lot of games in the past. So this one's not bad as far as how the score goes.
Yeah, I think it's just because of the communication that we don't really talk about. If it's a multiplayer, maybe we
would. Yeah, it changes things depending on that part of the game for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it definitely excelled in repeatability, convenience, and did pretty well in story and fun.
Yeah, I think so too.
For us. So that's kind of where we ended up on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Might at some point return and play through a different character.
For you? I'm already
playing. I'd have to try Neat, though, because he's the only one that we haven't tried yet at all.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, that is it for our Tower Song review.
Yeah, it's more than 3.5 stars out of 5.
So. Yes, I will add that you can get the game on Steam if you're interested. I don't know the price point at the moment.
I think it's about $16-$17.
Yeah, so if this sounded interesting to you, check it out. Love to hear your thoughts too.
Yes.
If you have a way to get those to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for our review.
Yeah.
Let's move on to where people can find us.
Sure.
Over on X at x.com/gamerparentspod.
Or Instagram at gamer_parents_podcast.
Or over on YouTube under the Gamer Parents Podcast channel where we post audio versions of every single episode.
Yes.
And on Twitch where we stream or are supposed to stream every Tuesday night around 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Although lately we've missed a few with being on break or being sick or whatever reason.
Yeah.
But most Tuesdays we will be live over on Twitch.
Yeah.
The best place to come and hang out with us would definitely be the Discord server where we talk about life and games all throughout the week.
And the link to that can be found in the episode description. But that is it for episode 117 and the review of Tower Song. We will catch you in the next one.
Bye.